Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Happy Saturday to all of you.
What day is it?
We got a full house. Well, 2 degrees. We got Steve Silva. Amber Ashmacari.
I feel that right now.
We got intern Christopher.
Hoi!
And I am Sean Robertson. Together, we are your Weekly Dose podcast.
Thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. We are the only podcast who continues the radio traditions of Mark and Brian. If you miss them as much as we do, it's a good thing you tuned in. This is the right show.
Absolutely. But this podcast isn't just for M&B listeners. It's also for those who are looking for a podcast just to have fun and enjoy a good old-fashioned morning radio style type of program.
Yes, and for those of you who are new, excuse me, my throat there. Thank you for joining us this morning and every morning, every Saturday. It's Saturday, right?
It is.
Saturday? Okay.
You think it is? Absolutely.
So if you want to connect with us, you guys, come on our socials, drop us a line. We're going to put up a few little questions for you guys to answer.
On the Facebook, absolutely.
Interact.
And we got a pretty cool show for you guys. We got movie reviews with Paul Preston. We got a Tinseltown Spotlight. We'll be talking about Cicely Tyson, Cloris Leachman. How long should sex last? Bugs Bunny turns 82 this year. And hot chocolate facts as well.
Yeah, well, you can always interact with the show by calling in, or if you like, you can comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com, or send a message to us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose, or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
That is right, Steve, and you can also download the show for free from the website, but you can also find us on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Are we still on Stitcher?
No.
Okay, no more Stitcher. Never mind. So just search for Your Weekly Dose on any of those things. And most importantly, guys, rate and review the show. iTunes, iHeartRadio, give us a little bit of love.
Absolutely. Tell the world what you think of us.
Yes.
Of course, today's theme song is Walk This Way by Aerosmith.
Classic.
Oh, great song.
Love Aerosmith.
So good. So, you know, they have a very interesting career in looking at where they started in the 70s. Mm-hmm. They kind of died down. And then, of course, I know you heard it, but you get a chance to talk to him. But David Fischoff. And that.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Where a lot of groups were getting back together because of the Monkees. And that's why Aerosmith got back together, because same with Fleetwood Mac and so forth back in the 80s, because they're saying, if the Monkees can get back together,
then we can get back together.
You know, it's kind of like, hey, we're not going to let these guys show us up.
Okay.
You know, and he said that he had several managers call him and tell him that was the reason why these bands got back together, was because the Monkees got back together.
Yeah. Aerosmith was my dad's first concert.
Really?
I think it was 77, 78.
Uh-huh.
And he was, yeah.
Favorite Aerosmith song?
Me?
Yeah.
Love in an Elevator.
That's mine. Love
no
it.
No shit.
Yeah, I love that song.
Loving
to know. That one and Janie's Got a Gun.
Oh, that. Oh, yes. Yes. And yeah. What's the other one? Oh, that's a sad one.
It is.
That's a tough one.
Steve, favorite Errol Smith song?
Love in an Elevator.
Really?
It's so good.
Really?
He's no, out of his ass.
I didn't listen to them, so I don't
really? You never got to Errol Smith?
Nah. I mean, yeah. Well, there's a lot of music out there. Back then, and you only listen to so much of it, and I didn't choose to listen to that side of it.
I know there are probably going to be people out there, you know, that say, "Oh, that's blasphemy." Hey, I never got into Led Zeppelin, so I can relate. I never got into Zeppelin for whatever reason.
Yeah. Okay,
so
and I have to say, my dad's favorite, and I completely agree with this because, damn it, if he cannot sing, "Dream On," that is one of to me, that's one of their best songs.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song too.
I'm gonna butcher it. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, today's theme song again was "Walk This Way" by Aerosmith, and of course, you can get any of the music that we play on our show simply by going to Amazon.
Give Jeff Bezos the rest of your money, as if he doesn't have enough yet.
That's right. Amazon basically is one of our...
Yeah, it's now a contest to overtake Elon Musk.
It's so true. Yeah,
Bezos could be the richest man again.
Well, anyway, Amazon is our sponsor, guys.
They
you definitely
are,
want
they
to go
are.
To our website, click on our Amazon banner, basically, and just, you know, click on it, you know, just like that. That's all you got to do. Click on the banner and then go to Amazon and shop to your heart's delight. It's as simple as that.
So many clicks.
I know. You like that.
Clickety, clickety.
It's all the shopping you're doing and everything. So, I just used Amazon yesterday.
For what?
We got some new sheets.
Oh, what's the thread count?
1,800.
No shit. You went for that nice Egyptian cotton.
Damn right. And silk.
I don't even get started what I buy on Amazon. I buy everything on Amazon.
Do you use our banner?
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Shit. I also shop a lot on eBay. eBay's my other... I get stuff sometimes faster delivered with eBay than I do with... Amazon. I would have to hit them up.
I know. I have Amazon Prime, so I get stuff really
quick. I do, too.
I mean, because like, I ordered stuff, I ordered the sheets yesterday.
Yeah?
Or, no. Today's what, Saturday? Ordered the sheets Thursday. Got them yesterday.
My favorite thing to do is I do the slower shipping, so I get less packages.
Oh, okay.
I rack up $3 credits.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll splurge and rent me a brand spanking new movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like movies.
So do I.
And I can't wait to hear what movies...
At the movies.
...we're going to hear about. I watched Ammonite last night. I don't know if Paul's listening.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
But first, though, we do need to catch up with each other.
Oh, that's right. I was doing it preemptively.
A little premature.
Can I go for Zach first?
You want to go for Zach because Zach's not here?
Yeah.
All right.
So I just want to say... Told you so. I told him not to go. Told him to get some antibiotics, go to the damn doctor. He didn't do it. And now guess what? He's in bed sick.
He's suffering.
I don't want him to suffer. I just want him to listen sometimes.
He's a man. He's a guy.
Suffering is just a part of it.
Oh, my gosh.
What makes you think men are going to listen to women?
Because we're smarter and we're always right?
Yeah, I know, but that's beside the point.
Oh, shit.
But women are always supposed to listen to men.
That's my, like, I've
men
said
are dumb.
So
we're
far,
stupid. So. We're idiots. We're morons. We just don't do things correct. Gosh. That's why I don't date men.
I don't like men. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly why I don't date men.
That's why I don't
asshole.
As well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other reasons, but. So, yeah.
The big Zach thingy
is,
in the middle?
Zach is, okay. Anyway, so
Lane Vayton meat pipe that's there.
Talk about that. So yeah, Zach, told you so. We'll have a moment of silence for Zach. Ready?
Ready.
Get better. Take your antibiotics. Stop being a dipshit.
You know what? Even though it hasn't happened, we'll do this for Zach.
Turn off your fucking phone.
There you go.
That is his thing.
That is his thing.
Okay. So what about you, Steve? Give us something good. What did you do?
How was your week, bud?
I watched a lot of comedy this week.
Oh, did you?
Like everything, like outtakes on, outtakes from Hot in Cleveland.
God, I love those.
Oh, they're so Betty White, Jane Leaves.
Oh, yeah.
That's her name.
Going old school.
And
Betty White, man, she has led such a career. And we forgot to mention, but last week she turned 99.
Is it 99?
99 years old. Good God, that woman is phenomenal.
She's just never going to. I hope she never dies.
I think she'll hit 100 and then kind of go after
after that.
Kind of like George Burns.
Peace out.
Kind of like George Burns did.
Here I go. 100 was good.
But, oh, God. I mean, to see her be that active, though, at that age.
Oh, yeah.
Still.
She's amazing. And she's funny in her own way. And the outtakes from that show, some of them make me laugh so hard, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
And it's just the mistakes they made or the comments they make that are not necessarily in the script and stuff. Oh, my gosh.
Is this on YouTube? Is that where
you're
going?
Oh, yeah, it's on YouTube.
Okay. I'm going to have to go back and look at some of the outtakes.
Yeah, just look up Hot Cleveland Bloopers.
I will.
So good.
So good, yeah. And then I've been watching different comedians. One of them I told you about, Taylor Tomlinson.
Oh, yeah.
She's really good. She's a little different. She's really young.
Mm-hmm. The Google I go.
And she kind of is...
She's got her own little thing. Yeah, Steve showed to me last week.
Got this good girl turned kind of bad girl persona.
Okay.
That she's dealing with.
Oh, yeah, I recognize her. She's great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I really like her. So I've been listening to a lot of her stuff.
Plus, she's from Temecula.
There's always Rodney. Oh, I love Rodney.
Rodney Dangerfield?
He's like, my favorite. So
cool. Well, I have been doing a similar thing to you. I've been going through comedy stuff, and I'm literally going through the entire Seinfeld catalog right now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
I was just like, that's something different, and I haven't watched it in years. I did all of 30 Rock a while back. I've seen 30 Rock so many times. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to go Seinfeld. And it still hits.
For me, it was a hit and miss.
Really?
Yeah, kind of like the same way. What's that cartoon that's been on for so many years?
The Simpsons?
No. The one on cable. They killed Kenny.
Oh, South Park.
South Park, it's a hit and miss for me. There's just sometimes I get that too,
yeah.
You know, but Seinfeld, it was the same thing. It was a hit and miss.
I just enjoyed watching, like, going back through it all. Mm-hmm. And seeing him so young and Elaine so young, and it's just and how the characters evolve. I'm really digging. That's kind of like what I've been looking at is like how they evolve their shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And then my next one I want to go back through is Will and Grace, because
I love how Jack
and Karen.
Yeah.
At the beginning for the first season, it's like you can't really, and then they just really find their comedy niche.
Mm-hmm.
Niche, and it's, you know, the
who's the. The other character that who played the gay guy.
Oh yeah, that's oh my gosh, Leslie Jordan.
Is that
Leslie?
Yeah.
Leslie.
He's
exploding. He's just
well. There is a movie about Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, and he plays Jerry Lewis.
Yeah,
in
Leslie
it.
Jordan.
And he did a fabulous job.
Really?
Of playing Jerry Lewis. Yeah, he did a really really.
Leslie
good
Jordan
job.
Plays a little.
Well, show me his picture real quick.
Hang on,
make sure I'm talking about the right guy.
He's blown up on the internet now. The beginning of COVID, he had, I think, maybe not even a million followers, and now he's at like 5.6 million.
Oh, jeez.
But this is a...
No. Not him.
Leslie Jordan?
No.
Okay, I was going to say.
No. The other one that... Because you had Will and Grace.
Yeah.
And then he had that real bitchy character, and then like the other gay guy or whatever.
Was it her friend?
Oh, we're talking about Jack. We're talking about, I know who you're talking about. Blah, blah, blah. Will and Grace. Go, Google, go. Okay, here we go. You're talking about Jack. It's
Sean Hayes. That's who it is.
Yeah. Jack McFarlane, Sean Hayes.
Sean Hayes. That's who it is.
But yeah, his character, the way that Jack's character develops through.
Well, look it up, though, but he plays Jerry Lewis in a movie about Dean and Jerry and their life together.
Really?
Sean Hayes did a wonderful job.
Well, he's an amazing actor, period.
Well, I mean, I looked at him as a good comedic actor and everything, but I didn't know what else he could do, and I saw him in that, and I gave him so much more respect after that.
I think that he's been nominated for several Tonys on Broadway. He's done serious stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that's funny. That ties back into Megan Mullally, who played Karen on Will and Grace, next to Jack. She was in the Broadway production of Young Frankenstein in Cloris Leachman's.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, and she just posted a bunch of videos of her doing the tits. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Oh. Wow, what knockers.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, doctor.
She did great in that. So that's funny. That's what I've been doing.
Cool. Well,
that's
I've got an update for you guys. So last week, I talked about...
your choo-choos? No?
It was that band that I was going to try and join for the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick, blowout. I walked in. I thought I meant bad. I thought I met the Crypt Keeper.
Wait a minute. So, like, you mean blow out like a baby blows out the back of its diaper? It's like you shit everywhere.
Yeah. It started off really well and then just ended really bad.
You or them or what? All of it?
The whole thing.
Oh.
Yeah. I got a lecture on our country and conspiracy theories.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Some QAnon shit?
Everything.
That's and I'm just said shit this show. It's like,
and I'm just like, I'm going to respect.
Are you
I'm
serious?
Going to respect whatever and just kind of decline whatever. And
I think the time for that's a little.
And I'm just like, you know, you don't do that with somebody you first meet.
They are really clamping down on this right now. Tito Ortiz lives in Huntington Beach. You know, we all know him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting kicked off the city council for his. He's a total QAnon Trump wacko. He's getting like.
Oh yeah,
kicked out of Huntington.
Yeah, and I just bowed out graciously, whatever. Mm-hmm. Said thanks and don't call me.
So, thank you, but no, thank you, sir.
Thank you, but no, thank you. But anyway, you know what I really need right now though?
I know what it is.
What is it? Hot chocolate? No.
It's Paul.
It's Paul. Are you sure it's Paul?
I don't know. I think it is Paul.
I think it is Paul.
Is it?
It's Paul. Press it.
Wait a minute. There's that theme.
I've been waiting all morning.
I hear it.
Da, 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 da.
Ah, yes. It's our favorite guy from the movie, guys, Mr. Paul Preston. How are you, Paul?
Hey, Paul.
Take a look at what's new with the liberal, baby-eating, pedophile Hollywood.
There you go.
I had some fetus blood this morning. It was delicious.
Isn't it, though? Just smooths the wrinkles out.
I warmed it up a little bit, too. Nom, 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 nom.
How are you doing, brother?
I am doing well. You know, same movies. Come on.
Well is good. Well is good.
Yeah, is there an update I could really give? Like, is there an update I could really give? Indoors a lot, not working much, you know.
Same thing.
The thing.
I guess he could say he's, instead of saying he's well, he's a cistern.
Yeah, I can say that too. Yeah,
that was kind of funny.
Wait, who's out today? What? No, the wrong guy is out. The wrong guy is out.
Yeah. Oh! Bazinga!
Get this!
Oh, can you check? I think my nose is bleeding. Can you check for
me? Oh!
Yeah.
We should have a segment on like. Paul does the rate sex scenes in movies. I was just thinking that for some reason.
Oh, hey, he could do that. Absolutely.
The best and worst.
Absolutely.
Twist my arm to research.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, this is a good one.
Oh, shut up.
This is a good one.
As you notice, as he moves in.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Turns his shoulder slightly.
There's lesbian movies, too, and that doesn't occur. Okay, anyways. Paul.
Hello.
Make these guys stop.
there was another thing I did. I watched a lesbian movie.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, it was on Tubi.
We'll talk about that in a little while.
All right.
I want to hear what movies.
Paul, what do you got for us today, buddy?
Yes. Was it a movie? Were there credits, Steve? Because otherwise it's not a movie. You were just watching porn.
Tubi, Pornhub, what's it?
Tubi, yeah.
Well, today I have three movies to tell you about that are two of them are out now. One is out next Friday. We'll start with the one that's coming up because it's worth putting on your radar now. And when it comes out, you can go grab it on VOD. It's called Little Fish. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's a little movie that could. So here's a premise that's unique. What if a virus ran amok all over humanity on Earth?
That's not possible. Not possible. I don't believe it.
This one's different, though. It's a virus that can slowly make you lose your memory and then just sort of wander the earth not knowing anything. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, but, that's pretty much Steve's life.
What?
See, I'm not the only
one. Are we gonna have Paul on?
Yeah, we are.
Sometime this show?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
This isn't airing, is it?
Are you ready for Paul, Steve?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Oh, finally.
The movie, this movie Little Fish, though, thankfully just hones in on one couple as they try and run from catching this thing so they don't lose their life with one another.
I saw the preview for this.
I did, too. Yeah. I saw the preview for this. I didn't remember the name.
Good. Yeah, I hope that it's getting out there because it's really good. No. Olivia Cooke, if she played Artemis in Ready Player One, among other things.
Oh, I liked her. Yeah.
Yeah, and Jack O'Connell, he was the lead in Angelina Jolie's Unbroken, about the marathon runner who becomes a POW, and he should be working a lot more. He's really good as well. But it just shows you how strong story, strong relationship can tell a movie of any size without a huge budget. You know, like, this is a worldwide pandemic, but the budget is $250 million, but because they focus in so much on the couple and their personal, you know, dealings with one another, you don't miss the fact that, you know, we didn't have a huge airport sequence where there's mayhem and chaos and everyone's running around and people don't know what they're doing. You know, there's enough creativity to show this worldwide situation, but really the movie is about these two people. And Olivia Cooke is great. She's also in Sound of Metal right now.
Too. That looks depressing.
She's getting a lot of hype. Yeah, she was in a nasty little movie called Thoroughbreds. And O'Connell shows to say he should be working more, like I said before. He was in Money Monster with Jodie Foster and with Jodie Foster. Did she direct that? I can't remember. But Clooney is in that one with Julia Roberts. And so it's basically an interesting way to tell this love story because they're discovering it so they can keep their memories alive as we're discovering them as well. So it's kind of a loop in on itself of a bunch of interesting stuff. But again, two leads kind of carry the whole thing. And they shot it in 2019 with, you know, people in masks, loud, angry crowds, potential vaccines. It's like all there. they were on to this before this was a this. So,
interesting.
And then, ironically, the coronavirus delayed its release. Last April, it was supposed to play at Tribeca, but now it comes out the February 5th.
So it needed top billing.
How meta. That's very, like, whoa.
Yeah, and if you're like, I like dramas, I like good acting, I'm not so big on sci-fi, taste this one because the sci-fi is ancillary to the drama. But it certainly casts its shadow over the whole movie. So that's a good one. Little Fish. The title may not
like it.
Relate to anything I'm talking about. Of course, it does relate to the story once you start watching it.
Cool. What's number two, Paul?
I think you guys have Apple TV Plus. There's so many streaming services now.
No.
I don't have that one either. I'm just not adding it to the list.
There's too many. But if you were to have Apple TV Plus, or if you have it, or if you go get the 7-day whatever test run, Palmer is the new film with Justin Timberlake that's out now.
Looks amazing.
And Sean, you're probably like me. You just sit there going, enough looks, talent, awards, money, ladies, Timberlake, enough already. And he's funny. Well, now he's dramatic as well. So he gives a nice, solid performance in this movie.
He is. Well, he's done some other smaller roles and some other larger roles. He is actually a very good actor.
Oh, he's very talented.
Yeah. It's disgusting. But here he plays.
He's no John Bon Jovi, but he's pretty close, though.
God, what the heck movie was that he was in many moons ago? She's So Lovely. Was he in that?
John?
Yeah.
I know he was in U571.
He had a 2 or 3 movie career. Yes, he was. That's right.
Yeah, he was in that. And then something about Valentine or whatever, which was his.
Valentino.
Yeah, that was like his first movie.
I'll let it go because, you know, no one wants to hear you Google who Sean Hayes is for 20 minutes.
Yeah. that was fun. No, it wasn't fun.
So this movie, Palmer, it's a solid drama, even though it's familiar territory. Timberlake is just getting off a 12-year prison stint, ends up living with his grandmother next door as a super trashy couple, and they have a very interesting son named Sam who loves wearing makeup and angel wings. So there's your movie, ex-con and boy princess. Can they get along?
Wow.
And Timberlake's good here. Again, that's kind of familiar territory with the, like, the kid that's in a bad situation, and can the unlikely person sort of inspire the young kid to be themselves, and will it make the, you know, the ex-con be a better person as well? All that's kind of familiar, but there's a good performance in there from Timberlake, and a really good one from Juno Temple as the strung-out mom. And the young kid, Ryder Allen, is, I guess he's brand new, but the kid sort of just owns that role. I mean, super young. He's got to be, like, 7 or something. He's really good.
I heard Timberlake talking about it today on NPR. They did an interview with him, and he said it was interesting for him to test the boundaries of where he came from in Tennessee as a very masculine country, you know, like a southern kind of guy. But then also he grew up with everybody calling him fag and gay because he was like to dance and he liked to sing and stuff like that. So he said for him it was like a tug of war because, as the
character. Well, it's like, interesting. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Like Brandi Carlile said, the joke's on him, clearly, with Timberlake.
There you go.
And, Timberlake could have given a little more pain to this part, but overall, because 12 years in Canada is no joke, but he wears that masculinity you're talking about well, and there's, you know, but and there's anguish there. Maybe the deeper dive could have been in the writing, but again, when I say it's a solid drama, it's just that. It's tearjerker emotion, it's stakes, it's, you know, the ups and downs of the small town where this unpredictable thing makes everyone have to react differently, and we end up on the bad side of it or the smart side of it, and so that for that, it's a solid drama, and that's on Apple TV Plus.
So awesome. it pretty much does its job then. That's good.
Yeah.
And what's the third one there, Paul?
Just on HBO Max as of last night is The Little Things with Denzel Washington.
This is on my list. Rami Malek, let's go.
Yeah, you like the Rami Malek?
I saw the trailer for this.
He is a strange-looking dude, but man, his voice, what he can kind of just do a little bit of anything for so far. From I think he's good.
I think he's a strange acting dude too. It's looking, but also it's like it's every time he takes on a character, it's like, wow, you're just pulling out the odd.
He's intense.
Plays like the young. Here he plays like the young hotshot cop who's on the rise with a bunch of cases he's getting on the news about, and he brings weird to it. Denzel's the laconic, laid back guy. He used to live in LA. Now he's come back down to handle some evidence for a case. The two of them team up. But then the whole film gets taken away by Jared Leto, as you can imagine. He does his crazy, weird method thing, and it's awesome. I hate to say, this crap again where you like can't be called anything but your character on set, and you do all these changes to your hair and body, and you're gaunt and weird, and you put on an affectation. Damn it, you can't stop watching him. He's
something else.
He's found a brand new way to make you uncomfortable.
Wow. And that says something then.
He is very method. He can just, like in Dallas Buyers Club, he can embody anything with how he changes his appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And he changes his diet, too. He's so thin, and then he gets... Anyways.
Yeah, and I guess you could call him anything but the Joker, He's like hardcore, but it often pays... I mean, clearly he's got an Oscar, so it pays dividends every once in a while. But the film overall, it's got a lot of cliche cop tropes in it, and there's kind of a mixed bag at the end. The cops do some things, you're like, I'm slapping my forehead going, come on, you're smarter than that, you shouldn't be doing this. But I guess it takes us to this next place in the story, and there's big major surprise at the end that I thought paid off. So it's kind of a mixed bag on the whole. But, you know, just if Denzel's in a movie, you should just watch it because he's like a legend.
Yeah, Denzel, exactly.
I agree.
Paul, you mentioned the Oscars. I haven't heard any rumblings yet. Of how they're going to do the show this year. Have you heard anything yet?
No, they've just keep pushing back the date. I can't remember what it is. Let me Google it. Today's theme,
Google.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Google.
Do the Googling
information while we're on the air. But they're going to be late April, so they've already pushed back like
really?
2 months change. So all the award nominated movies, they're doing that thing again, and I may have complained about it on this show before. I call it backloading, where they just dump like 40 award movies like in 2 weeks. By the time they give out the awards, people are like, last year, Best Picture at the Golden Globes was 1917. I'm sure everyone's going, well, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Because it played like New York and LA on Christmas and didn't even go wide until afterwards,
right?
The Golden Globes are given out. So, you know, I get that you want to be hot on people's minds right when they vote. So you come out late in the season, but. You know, hopefully people don't forget how great Elizabeth Moss was in Invisible Man or how great Ben Affleck was in The Way Back and those coming out, back in like February and March.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think you risk more of a shot of getting lost in the shuffle of like a bunch of movies. Plus, when you dump that many movies in a shorter period of time, your movie has to be the greatest movie ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Comes out and it's okay.
Like, you get so saturated. I just can't keep up right now.
Yeah. And we will be without blockbusters and still have trouble watching all the award-nominated movies before they start giving out statues.
Yeah, because I even heard, was it, I guess, the new James Bond film got pushed back again or whatever for its release for later this year.
That's terrible. I mean, it's probably the right idea, but I guess, you know, but there's a perfectly good James Bond movie out there and we can't see it. My life sucks.
Mm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, so I haven't heard how they're going to do the show. I liked the way they did the Emmys with the boxes and everyone gets a box delivered to their house. And if you won, it exploded and
confetti
and work came out. I thought that was tons of fun. Yeah. And, you know, everyone was just giving speeches from home and I can't remember who hosted, but was it Kimmel, I think? Yeah, Jennifer Aniston showed up and did a bit with him. And it was still a pretty good show. And I think the Oscars will come up with something clever.
Hopefully. I have a question.
Yes.
Promising Young Woman. What did you think?
Yes.
What did you?
Oh, that is a lot of movie.
Wow.
I loved it. It's hard.
Me as a woman, like, and have been in those situations. It was gut-wrenching.
For those who don't know, it's about Carey Mulligan playing a woman who, for reasons that are revealed later in the film, goes to bars and pretends to be drunk so she can go home with men who are ready and
predators.
Yes,
predators,
no.
Ready to abuse her. And then she, when she gets back to their place, turns the tables on them. So it's a little like female revenge movie in that respect.
It's
but
intense.
Then it just goes deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
I thought that was actually a brilliant idea, though. I really did.
Roman can't watch this one, obviously. It's also a good lesson for men to figure this out.
Okay, yeah. What was the name of it?
Promising Young Woman.
Yeah.
And it is just, oh man, I went through, I hadn't felt so much. I think the other movie that I wasn't as touched by, I thought I was going to be, was the, the Vanessa Kirby one.
Pieces of a Woman.
That was, for me, I cried, but it was kind of hokey in spots. It was like, it tried too hard for me. Maybe that's because
I was that way with Little
Mom.
Women.
Oh, shut up.
It's heavy, though. Pieces of a Woman is super heavy, and some of the filmmaking, like the opening sequence.
I thought it was kind of, they kind of pushed some points too hard, like too obvious.
Yeah.
And some spots.
Promising a Woman says, here's some points you don't expect at all.
Exactly. Two very different movies.
But it should be noted that Emerald Fennell, who wrote and directed that film, plays Camilla Parker Bowles on The Crown and is the showrunner for Killing Eve. So
yes.
She's like the most talented person in the world.
She is.
Right,
she can do no wrong. She can do anything. I love her.
Oh, yeah, which is pretty crazy. And if you ever saw the movie Wild, one of my favorite films with Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, yes.
The Pacific Crest Trail. That movie does a great job, from the director of Dallas Buyers Club, previously mentioned, of showing how every man she comes across on the psych is a threat. Like, you got to have your guard up for everybody. Hey, how you doing? It's like, I could be killed right now.
Yeah.
You know, they brought that up on the TV show The Fall, which is a great show with Jane Warner, Gillian Anderson, you know, where she tells that story, which may not be unique to the film, but the first time I heard it, which is like, what do men fear most about a woman? It's that they'll be rejected.
Yep.
What do women fear most about a man? That they'll be killed. And that's this shitty aspect of the world. That is truth.
It is the world we live in.
Yeah. Well, Wild explored that. Promising Woman excellently explores that as well. And, I mean, what can I say as a guy? My heart goes out to you. I mean, it's just a fucking shitty part of life that you can't even go to your car.
Yeah.
You know, you're at a restaurant, you got to walk to your car and got to worry.
And very true.
This movie handles that. There's some euphoria in it. There's some tears in it. There's some rage in it.
It is
a little bit of everything.
It's a good.
Really good.
Yeah. Paul, it is always good to have you on, buddy.
Twist my arm to talk movies.
Okay, we will.
Oh, by the way.
Yes, sir.
There's a couple more just to say the titles. Apple TV Plus gets better than Palmer with a film called Cherry with Tom Holland from the Russo brothers who made all the best Avengers movies.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is a super insane, intense, epic story of like a soldier who just, I mean, to say anything that happens to him would be, it's a, give it away, but it's a very original, there's bank robberies, there's drugs, it's a big, epic, the Russos kill it. They're so good. I mean, those, Captain America Civil War.
On the list.
Infinity War, Endgame. I mean, these guys just delivered up Winter Soldier. They delivered up the best Avengers movies, and now they stepped aside from that, from the MCU, to make a drama. And sure enough, it has all the hugeness and attention to detail and polish of their best Avengers movies. So, cherry. And Tom Holland's fantastic. The guy's just a great actor. I knew it when I saw The Impossible, and he continues to impress.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Well, definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Once again, guys, this is our buddy Paul Preston from The Movie Guys. You can catch him at themovieguys.net. And catch all of his interviews that he does with all the famous directors and actors and musicians in Hollywood that know what the hell
so
they're doing.
Fancy.
He is. He's so good.
Let me plug one I just did with James Maslow, who was on the boy group Big Time Rush back at Nickelodeon.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a romantic lead in a movie now called Stars Fell Out on Alabama. We talked all about that recently, so that's up at themovieguys.net.
Awesome. Well, go check it out, and Paul, we'll catch you next month, buddy.
Right on. Later.
Bye,
later.
Paul.
Take care.
Bye. Stars Fell on Alabama. I love that title.
Yeah.
That's a standard Billie Holiday song, isn't it? Stars Fell on... Okay.
Could be. You never know. You never know.
Oh, shush. So, as I was sitting here on the Googles, we should, you know, kind of switch it up a little bit. Maybe do a little thing with our Tinseltown Spotlight.
Oh my gosh, we haven't done that in forever.
Yes.
Holy cow.
It must be a long one then.
Well, hello everybody. Brandon Gordon here for you for the Tinseltown Spotlight. Yes, the news of what's news of what's going down in Hollywood and Tinseltown. Absolutely. Well, apparently, the 90 Day franchise is adding another spinoff. Oh, good Lord, here we go again. Yes, this time it'll be about the past franchise starts with those relationships that have crashed and burned. Oh, good, a comedy. Yes, the new show is giving center stage the very first time to the singles of the viewers that the viewers all love and known for the love for years. Yes, the new show will be called 90 Day The Single Life, but let's call it what it really is. 90 Day of Who Gives a Damn About These People That No One Real Knew Until Before Now. Speaking of not giving a damn, Kourtney Kardashian gets all dolled up in strapless latex dress and trending square-toe sandals. Oh, goody, a fashion statement. If you saw the picture as I did, you'll know that with the black saran wrap and flip-flops, you would have gotten the same damn result.
Sounds horrible.
Exactly. It totally is.
No Kardashians. No Kardashians.
Ooh.
Ew.
Kardashian-no.
Actress FKA Twigs, whose real name is Talia Banrett, recently opened up about her relationship with douchebag actor Shia LaBeouf. Yes, she discussed on how she couldn't look at other men in the eye, and she had to have a certain number of interaction with him and each day, and if not, she was berated if she broke any of the rules.
Damn him.
Yes, well, this Hollywood Reporter is proud that you've come forward to speak out, my dear lady, against that three-hit-only actor whose only job was to run, yell, and scream like the small penis bitch that he is.
Oh, my God.
Did I say that too loud?
Oh, no. Not loud enough.
Well, with music news, Madonna's daughter, Lourdes Leon, has been following her mother's footsteps and making her way through the fashion world. Yes, she now is not only showing off her assets from her juicy contour underwear campaign. One can only hope that she'll put out her own book on sex and call it, "Hey, Mom, can you still do this at your age?"
Oh, shit,
you can, because I forgot you do yoga.
Oh, my gosh. Lourdes.
Well, recently out daughter Danielle Busby denies of a tummy tuck after welcoming quintuplets. Yes, during an Instagram live Q&A on session with a TLC star. Wait, this is a TLC star? Oh, who gives a damn about Octomom 2? She's better off getting a big JJ rejuvenation surgery and a labiaplasty for her hubby. After six kids, it's like throwing a hot dog down a hallway for the poor guy.
Oh. She still exists?
Apparently so. And last but not least, actress Elizabeth Hurley has posed another sexy pic of herself on Instagram. Yes, this time she's posed the two abs-tastic photos of herself rocking a furry black and white coat with just a bikini bottoms and a semi-topless. Once again, reports of sex lube sales have rocketed through across the globe in more ways than one. Well, this reporter is going to go rub one out, so ta-ta for now.
TMI, Brandon, TMI.
Goodness.
Well, there you go, guys.
That was some hot goss.
Hey, Tinseltown Spotlight,
hot,
man.
Hot steaming goss.
You never
right
know.
There.
Have you actually seen the Elizabeth Hurley pic?
No, but I'm gonna have to go Google it.
She is really looking good.
Well, she got that money, honey.
Oh, but I mean, for 55 though. I mean, she's showing off. It's amazing though.
You know what? She probably juices and sleeps in a sarcophagus. I mean, who the hell?
You never know. Yeah, you really never. She, but I mean. For 55, if that's what 55 looks like, I mean, she's got a body.
55 is the new 40.
She's got 49. A body of a 20-year-old. I kid you not. She is really good looking. So
she takes care of herself.
She does. She
lots
really
of
does.
Water, lots of Pilates,
a lot of everything. I'll tell you that. So, well, Steve, you got some unfortunate news though.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, as it goes, life continues on, and people continue to die. So we're going to talk about a couple of.
Legends.
Absolutely incredible actresses. First of all, Cicely Tyson. She was 96, and her specialty was portraying strong black women that were caught up in life struggles during her 60-year career. Man,
that's
for 60 years. She had 3 Emmys and a Tony, and she died on Thursday. Now, the no cause of death was given. Tyson had recently completed a memoir, Just As I Am, which was released just this week. And her manager, excuse me, Larry Thompson, said in a statement that Tyson thought of her new memoir as the Christmas tree decorated with all the ornaments of her personal and professional life. So today she placed the last ornament, a star, on top of the tree.
Very cool. She was a great lady. I got a little bit of something here for us. And apparently this is, I guess, the last interview just before she passed away. So
tributes today continue to pour in for the legendary actress Cicely Tyson, who passed away at the age of 96. Ms. Tyson once said, "I am not a quitter. I will fight until I drop." And she lived up to her words, granting a string of interviews right up until her final days. Les Trent has details.
The legendary actress Cicely Tyson talked with Kelly and Ryan on Wednesday. The next day, she died at age 96.
Welcome to the show, Miss Tyson.
Cicely was on a media blitz all week long promoting her just-released autobiography, Just As I Am. And the interviews are leaving the nation with a moving tribute to her trailblazing life in her own words.
As a child, I was very shy.
CBS This Morning's Gayle King interviewed Cicely last Friday in Harlem. She couldn't believe this turn of events.
It was a week ago.
Yes.
It was a week ago that we were sitting with her in church.
What does it feel like to be 96 and a legend, Miss Legend?
I'm amazed every single day I live.
Cicely's career spans 7 decades. She appeared in Roots.
It will give him a very good life.
The classic film Sounder. Perhaps her most iconic role was the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. A major TV milestone in which she played a 110-year-old former slave. She won 3 Emmys, a Tony, an honorary Oscar.
This is the culmination of all those years of have and have not.
She was honored at the Kennedy Center and awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Today, loving tributes are pouring in. Viola Davis, "I loved you so much. You were everything to me," she posted. Halle Berry, "You were a true trailblazer." Cicely Tyson was born in this building, now being renovated in Harlem, the daughter of Caribbean immigrants. She kept her ties to this neighborhood her entire life. And when she sat down with Gayle King last week, it was at the Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem, where she was a member.
When the time comes, what do you want us to remember about you?
I've done my best.
Oprah Winfrey paid tribute to Tyson, saying, quote, her life so fully lived is a testimony to greatness.
Just amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
And one thing I noticed, too, is that as we see the pictures of her as she's aged, she aged very gracefully.
Mm-hmm. She's still
very
hot.
Beautifully. I know.
I never thought a 96-year-old woman was that hot. I'm like, what? I'm a little confused right now.
She was like one of my favorite actresses. Everything I ever saw her do was just incredible.
Yeah, she was.
Just
she
the way
was,
it was.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
And now...
oh, boy.
One of our favorites,
come
yeah.
to another legend. All the accolades are just insufficient for this woman. Cloris Leachman. She won Emmys and Oscars, and she was 94. Now, she's best remembered as the delightful, neurotic Phyllis Lindstrom on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Anybody... I know that a lot of people are way too young to remember that. But
I do remember some.
She was really great in that. It was funny. And her subsequent sitcom, Died of Natural Causes on Tuesday in Encinitas. She was 94. It's been my privilege to work with Cloris Leachman, one of the fearless actresses of our time. Her longtime manager, Julia Green, was one that said that. There's no one like Cloris. When a single look, she had the ability to break your heart and make you laugh till tears ran down your face. Yeah, just ask. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
When.
Yeah. Well, here's a quick interview with Cloris regarding her role in Young Frankenstein.
Of all time, which is Young Frankenstein.
Of course.
So I was just wondering if I were going to watch a scene, what is a scene, if you were going to watch it, what is something that there's more behind the scenes stories in that one scene that the average viewer wouldn't know about?
Well, just the dumb, silly. They'd come in the front door of the castle. Mm-hmm. Now we're going up the steps. And I have this candelabra, the candles that are not lit. And I turn and I say, stay close to the candles. The staircase can be treacherous.
Inga, may I present Frau Blücher?
So now I turn and I say, stay close to the candles. The staircase can be treacherous. I raise my voice, can be treacherous, meaning we've lost a couple of people. But actually in that scene, as I turned to Gene. He'd be laughing, his face was in two pieces, laughing. And it wasn't funny, I don't know why. So then I'd do it again. We did about 15 takes.
After you, Frau Blücher.
Then I got my note from Bell. So, but I looked, and now I go, and I hear him. I hadn't said anything. It just tickled him to pieces. Everything that I did in the movie tickled Gene to pieces, and it was so much fun to work with him. He's brilliant. I would never have done this scene where I say, would you care for a brandy, perhaps, before retiring?
Oh, I love this scene.
Would the doctor care for a brandy before retiring?
No. Thank you.
Some warm milk?
Perhaps. No. Thank you very much. No thanks.
Ovaltine.
Nothing. Thank you. I'm a little tired.
And I will say good night.
Good night.
So good. Cloris Leachman, she's going to be missed. And that scene, though, too, with when they get to the front door.
Yeah.
And the horse's reaction. I pulled that up again. We heard a little bit of it, but it is just so funny to hear it. And I forgot why they decided to do that, but it was just an instinct thing to do. Every time that name was said,
yeah,
the horses would just go crazy.
I am Frau Blücher.
Steady!
How do you do? I am Dr. Frankenstein. This is my assistant, Inga. May I present Frau Blücher? And what's got into them?
Your rooms have been prepared, Herr Doctor. If you will follow me.
Igor, would you bring the bags as soon as you're finished, please?
Yes, Master.
After you, Frau Blücher.
This is one I need to, like, eat some edibles and watch again. I haven't seen this in a couple years.
Oh, this is so good.
Yeah, it's a classic.
We all go in.
Blücher!
Marty fell in love with it. So good. So good. She's definitely going to be missed. What another... Mm-hmm. Just another legend, though.
Yeah,
man.
Just amazing. I actually quote her several times in regular daily life. She had such an effect on me with in her different movies, and it's fun to think back and all the laughter that she was able to give us.
And we were talking about it in the car because I had to pick up Steve this morning. And the thing that...
Had to pick up Steve.
Yeah, because, you know, our producer's not here today.
Oh, where is he? No, I'm kidding.
I don't know. I guess he got sick for some reason.
Like, what?
No.
Vegas.
No. Shocking. Okay, sorry, Zach.
What was that, Christopher?
Let's have a moment of silence for our fallen comrade.
again, one more.
Yeah, one more. Okay, that's enough.
But no, I mean, she what made it work for her was the commitment, no matter what. It's kind of, you and I were talking about it, it's kind of like watching, I can't even say it right now. We're talking about it this morning.
Somebody.
Leslie Nielsen.
Let's Google it for Paul.
Leslie yeah. Nielsen, where, you know, you look at him in the airplane movies, mm-hmm. and it's just so funny. But they told him, no, don't try and be funny. Just be yourself.
That was funny enough.
And then you go back now and you watch actual movies that he was in, and you want to laugh. And you're going, but there's nothing funny there.
Yeah, it's not.
He's just an odd guy.
It wasn't that it was odd. It was the way it was delivered. But it had to be that commitment of seriousness for it to work. And I think Cloris Leachman was the exact same way. Mm-hmm. It had to have that commitment no matter what level.
And the timing. Gene Wilder, when they just, there's the pauses. That's the hardest thing when you're acting is to pause, wait, listen.
Yeah. And to see if it does work, especially in a film of that nature.
They just, their eye contact in that scene, you know?
Right.
And perhaps more milk. And then she turns and...
Yeah. Ovaltine? I just love that.
No!
We were tweeting during this week. Remember, I used that meme, the Ovaltine meme.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. Yeah, that
sounds good. I love that.
Oh, Cicely Tyson.
Yeah.
Cloris
Leachman. They're both going to be missed. Oh, that's
one for my homies, yo.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you know what? This one's going to set up our next subject, though.
Oh, boy. Us talking about sex? No. We would never do such a thing.
No, not sex. The number six.
Oh,
we're
misread
talking
it.
About the number
I misread
six.
It. Sorry, my brain.
Yeah. This. How long should the number six last?
Yeah. Like a fever. I love this song. Yeah. How long should sex actually last? The average duration of a sex session is finally revealed. How long for you?
Okay, this is very subjective. I mean, this is hard.
It is. It is.
How much alcohol was involved? Where are you at in the relationship?
The actual act of it. Itself.
Are the kids home?
Right, but the
are
actual.
Are there dogs act? In the bed? There's a whole thing.
I know, but the actual interaction. How long for you? What's a good sex session?
Does this include foreplay?
No.
This is not.
This is the actual.
Actual just getting down.
Right.
I mean, doesn't that depend on how long it takes someone to orgasm? And how
yes, it does.
Are?
Yes, it does.
See, I mean...
look at her cross her arms when she mentioned orgasm.
No.
That's telling.
That's me thinking. That's me getting my thinking cap on here. It's different for every woman.
Okay, but what's a good sex session for you?
Well, both partners have to have an orgasm. That's, you know, otherwise, I mean, unless you're, like, not feeling it or...
Yeah.
Yeah. 30, 40 minutes.
Okay.
Sometimes
I would agree with you there. For me, anywhere. For me, 45 minutes is a quickie.
If it's the weekend and you've had a couple cocktails and it's in the, you know, and you don't have to get up early in the morning, it's, you know, a couple times.
Okay, Steve.
Stop, watch a movie, go back to.
Yeah. Don't answer the phone.
Oh, no, your phone's on mute or has music on. No.
Or make the sandwich beforehand.
You already had dinner in line.
Remember Sleepless in Seattle?
Oh, my God.
He always gets up and makes a sandwich.
How long for you?
About 4 hours.
Oh, my God.
Come on, seriously. Really? 4 hour session? Straight. Wow.
I'm just kind of nervous right now. I'm like, who is this Superman over there? Things Superman. We learn about Steve.
Okay, Christopher Reeve. Well, it says here, all right, so while many of us, you know, look at what a session is, like you say, many things kind of come into
There's
play
lots
about
of factors,
it.
Yeah.
Okay, so an actual study was done. Scientists have a way to tell the world exactly how much time they should be spending in the act of physical love. It is actually 5.4 minutes.
That is messed up.
Just get on, get it off.
So, how did they come up with this number?
Men.
Sorry. Participants had to press start at the time of penile penetration.
Oh, my gosh.
And stop at ejaculation. This was deemed a more effective way of doing it than asking the couple, whatever, to keep an eye on the clock.
That's
a
very, very misogynistic study.
It is. Very,
throw it in the trash.
Of course, a lot more to sex than putting the penis into the vagina and ejaculating, but the rest is not always easy to define. Kissing, rubbing, grinding, foreplay, the whole thing. But to keep things simple and specific, the study just focused on the time to ejaculate or having an orgasm itself.
That's
the average time. During the whole study, though, it was anywhere between 33 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
And 44 minutes.
Women of the world, I am so sorry.
Okay, and 44 minutes. All right. With that, the median time, the overall average, was 5.4 minutes.
Okay. I saw something about, it was a couple. Gosh, who was it? It was a sex therapist talking. Mm-hmm. And she had a couple come to her, and they were in their 60s. And they'd been married for like 40 years. Mm-hmm. And she had never in her life had an orgasm. And they never had had oral sex. Mm-hmm. And I guess that she, you know, the sex educator taught the lady and then had to bring the husband in and say, listen, you're not. And so, and then they started having sex for hours. But like, really? See, that's the lesbians. We know it. Gay people know about oral sex. That's like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think enough straight people do that. And I think it's really important.
To me, that is all part of the foreplay.
That's still foreplay too?
To me, it is, yeah. It's getting to the bigger thing. It really
What's
is.
What's the bigger thing?
I mean, actual intercourse. That's the whole.
You don't understand lesbian sex, apparently.
No, well, of course, because I'm not a lesbian. Hello, but I enjoy oral sex myself, though.
Yeah, that's part of sex. It's called sex. We should not have Christopher in here with us. This conversation is shit.
I was wondering when someone was going to say that.
I know,
but no. I mean, to me, that's all part of foreplay. It's the gaming up of everything. It's like the next step, the next step, the next step, the next step. You know, and then, you know, it's to me, it's the warm up though.
Huh.
You know, it really is.
Lesbians everywhere are scoffing at you.
Well, let them scoff. I don't care. I don't date them.
So are gay men.
I don't date them. I don't date them either.
So. Okay, well, now, let me say, for me...
Steve, hold on, Steve.
Strictly straight sex.
Cunnilingus is the number one thing I like to do.
Bam! See?
And, in fact,
having
intercourse is like... Like, well, are we fine? Are we done? Or, you know, we're going to get to a point where we're going to finish. And I, you know, I don't care if that comes.
Yeah, this is.
That's just the way I am. I mean, I like it. It's not like I would, but I there's something about Yeah, that's
Steve's
what I
a
like.
Real man. See,
I enjoy it too. There is something about it and everything. But again, for me, it's just one of it's okay. You know, it's you got the hugging, the kissing, the petting, or whatever. That's step one. Then you have the oral sex, step two. Then you have the whole interaction, step three. You know, and then for me, it's you both ejaculate. You both want to get off.
Now,
you know?
I'm gonna put a scenario on this. So I just remembered this as well from that sex educator I watched. She also was teaching men who had had penile cancer and had their penises removed, and teaching them. So technically, by your standards, they never have sex again.
Yeah.
Ouch.
But and they can never have intercourse. So.
But they can learn. They can.
There's
still
other types
find other
of
ways.
Sex though, but they can never have intercourse.
But that's not.
But it's a different feeling though. Yeah. That's just it.
Mm-hmm. They can still orgasm though. Different way. They have to get. They get taught to, you know, and.
A man with no penis? How do you orgasm with no penis?
I don't know. This lady talked about it, and I was tuned out. I was like, okay, that's
I would
me.
Really like to find that out, because that is the part of the male organ.
I think it's...
That's the sensitivity.
I think it's the stimulation. I think that it kind of... The nerve is...
But if you have
redirects.
No penis to have the stimulation there...
Maybe then, you know, there's different things. I don't know.
You know, that's like saying, how do you hear with your eardrums blown out? You can't.
I don't know. I think it's subjective still.
Not really.
So basically what you're telling me is I never had sex.
I said there's different types of sex.
Okay, that's okay. There we go.
And that's all part of it, though.
So I just want to just take a dump on that study right there.
5.4 minutes, man.
that's sad.
Yeah. Now, they did find some other things, though, that were interesting, though. The research also explores conventional wisdom regarding penile sensitivity and its relationship to staying power. Also, older men, which goes with Steve, weren't able to last longer than younger ones while wearing a condom, or being circumcised didn't boost chaps' performance either.
Chaps?
That's what it says.
Chaps?
Yeah. Another...
Guys.
Yeah. Another surprising finding was that,
verbiage.
And I disagree with this one too, though, because, you know, Steve and I are in the same boat here. Another surprising finding that the older couple, the shorter the sex.
Well, yeah, they're bored. They're like, okay, that's right.
But to me, that's where you want to keep it going. Do different things. Try different things.
Yeah.
You know, go out to the desert. Do it on top of a car hood somewhere.
What if you get a rock in your butt crack?
On the car hood?
Oh, well, no, I mean...
See, you don't
dust,
listen.
Dust.
Yeah.
Well, use a car hood. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
You dent the car?
Yeah, why not? You go, hey, remember when we dented it?
Oh,
my gosh. Dented the car?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, shorter sex, I don't know. Contrary to the prevailing of the wisdom or whatever, but yeah, I found that to be kind of shocking myself. 5.4 minutes.
Next week, Amber will bring in... I'm talking about myself in the third person. I'm doing a little Trump thing.
Why?
I'm going to bring in a lesbian sex study to counteract that.
You do that.
I'm going to.
Okay.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
I think we need that to happen.
And we'll have Paul on with the sex scene.
Says the woman who, when we had a stripper in here, honey, can you cover up, please?
She was cold.
She was not cold.
She was cold.
That's only because she put ice on her nipples.
I put ice on her nipples. Wait a minute. Let's get that right. I put ice on her nipples.
Christopher,
I don't get much of my life, but at least keep me with that.
Boy, oh boy, this has gone down the toilet quickly.
Does it ever go down smoothly or come back up? Or
I mean, it depends on what you've had to eat.
It's all up to the water pressure.
Oh, well, you know what?
No empty part by heart.
Boy, he knows this one. Yes. Happy birthday to Bugs Bunny. He is 82 this year. It's amazing that a cartoon character has lasted that long.
Now, here's my question. What about all the other characters that came out at the same exact time?
Around the same time. They're all around the same age, yeah. Bugs Bunny, now, they're saying that last year, according to Warner Brothers, last year for 2020, he actually turned 80. But the reality of it is that on April 30th, 1938, Bugs appeared with Porky Pig in Porky's Hare Hunt, And then, of course, the rest is history. So you got to add two more years to that.
All right. Technicalities.
So, exactly. So here's some really cool things for about facts about our favorite bunny. He got his name from his animator. Chuck Jones, of course, is a longtime animator for a lot of things in the Looney Tunes. But Bugs Bunny's original designer was Ben Bugs Hardaway. When he was making the initial design, he named the character Happy Rabbit. When Hardaway was tinkering with the original design of Bugs, a number of fellow employees were referred to the new cartoon character as Bugs's Bunny.
Bugs Bunny.
Oh, there you go.
The name caught on, and Warner Brothers changed the cartoon name from Happy Rabbit to Bugs Bunny.
I like it better.
Yeah.
Happy Rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy Rabbit.
The creators didn't want Bugs to look like a bully, though. So they were worried about making sure that Bugs didn't come off looking like it. So it was an unwritten rule that Bugs never started the fights, which was interesting. But that he would only be defending himself against people who were bothering him, whether it be Yosemite Sam, Elmer Fudd, or even his famous
Yosemite Sam's my favorite.
Daffy Duck. The creators say he was born in Brooklyn, New York. Well,
what? Him and Cicely Tyson, look at that.
Yep. Even though he was always trying to get to Albuquerque, Bugs Bunny was officially born in Brooklyn, New York. And that's why he's portrayed as a fast-talking trickster with a Brooklyn accent. Kind of. Of course, Bugs was actually born here in the mind of Mel Blanc, the man who voiced the character and the creators of Warner Brothers. That, of course, means that even though they can claim that Bugs was born in New York, he was actually given life in Los Angeles. Now, here's the thing, though. It was actually a combination of two different voices.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And here is Mel Blanc to explain that himself.
Get a voice and then say, draw something to go along with this, or do they come to you and say...
They show me a picture of the character, and then they say... They show me a storyboard, which shows what the character is going to do in the cartoon. From this, I have to create the voice. Like Bugs, they said, was a tough little stinker. So I thought, which is the toughest voice in this country, the Brooklyn or the Bronx?
So you put the two of them together. That's how I got the voice from Bugs, Doc.
And Porky, they said, was a timid little character. So I went out to a pig farm and wallowed around with the pigs. I wanted to be authentic. And when I went back to the studio, they kicked me out and said, go home and take a bath. Which I did want to come back. They said, I said, if a pig could talk, he'd talk with a grunt. You know,
that's the grunt.
So there you go.
That's so good.
Yeah. So he combined the two, the Bronx and the Brooklyn.
Love
accents
that.
Got together, and now you got the voice of Bugs Bunny. Bugs actually changed the meaning of the word Nimrod.
He changed the meaning of it?
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny
was so influential in American culture that he is the sole reason why America uses the term Nimrod to mean idiot. Before Bugs...
Oh, shit!
You okay? Wow.
We had a geriatric issue in the...
You okay over there, Nimrod?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
I have no idea what just happened.
That poor chair almost...
Wow, no kidding. Just to let you know...
Yes?
Gravity works, buddy.
Yes, it does.
It's
gravity
the law.
Is the law.
And we obey the law.
I just obeyed the law.
Yeah. All right.
Bugs Bunny
changed the meaning of the word Nimrod. So, once again, Bugs Bunny was so influential in American culture that he was the sole reason why America uses the term Nimrod to mean idiot. Before Bugs, Nimrod referred to a mighty hunter named after the biblical figure Nimrod. Bugs would sarcastically compare Elmer Fudd to Nimrod, and the American picked up on the phrase. The fact that the cartoon was able to change the definition of an established word shows just how much lasting an impact that he had on the world.
I did not know
Neither
that.
Neither did I. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, Bugs actually did save his voice creator from a coma. Bugs himself didn't come to life or to perform CPR, but in 1961, Mel Blanc was in a very terrible car accident that left him unconscious in a coma. Doctors couldn't wake him up for weeks until on surgeon, and as a joke, said Bugs Bunny. So the doctors would come over and say, hey, Bugs is here. He goes, how you doing today? And Blank replied, what's up, doc? And that's where the phrase came from.
What's up, Dunce?
Fortunately, Blank recovered, and he continued to work even while he was in a full body cast.
Wow.
He would. Bug also holds the record for the most film character, most film appearances for a cartoon character. As of January 23, I'm sorry. Boy, my mouth is just not working today. As of January 2013, Bugs Bunny has officially appeared in more films than any other cartoon character and is the ninth most portrayed film personality in the world. He has starred in more than 160 theatrical animation short films of Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies.
Love it.
Let's see here. Clark Gable inspired Bugs' eating carrots. A few actors have inspired Bugs Bunny's manners, but... Bugs' mannerisms, but one of the easiest to compare is Clark Gable in It Happened One Night. In the film, Gable portrays a fast-talking city slicker reporter. In one scene, he's shown leaning on a fence and chomping away on a carrot. Does that sound familiar to everybody? Which is one of Bugs Bunny's most iconic trademarks.
Yeah.
Charlie Chaplin and Groucho Marx also inspired his personality. Charlie Chaplin's goofy but witty character was basis for his for Bugs, but Groucho Marx's line, "Of course you realize this means war."
Oh yes.
Was lifted straight from Hollywood and became a classic phrase for Bugs Bunny. Bob Gibbons was also instrumental in Bugs' design. He was an animator who worked alongside Tex Avery and Chuck Jones, and he was given the task to redesign the look overall of Bugs Bunny. And the new look came in for a short called A Wild Hare. So that was, and now because of his design is what we're mostly familiar with because of Bugs. Did you know he also has a star on the Walk of Fame?
Mm-hmm.
You knew that?
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Cartoon character, co-star, Walk of Fame. Bugs got his star in 1985, just 7 years after his rival cartoon character, Mickey Mouse. But he is now one of 17 fictional characters with a star and the only character from Warner Brothers Entertainment to have a star.
Oh.
Now, even though he got the star after Mickey Mouse...
Mm-hmm.
He actually got on a stamp before Mickey Mouse.
Ooh.
Mickey may have beat him to the Walk of Fame, but Bugs Bunny was the first cartoon character to appear on an official U.S. Postal Service stamp, and the stamp debuted in 1997. This is kind of cool, though, but Bugs is also an honorary member of the U.S. Marines. During Super Rabbit, of his many World War II propaganda shorts, Bugs Bunny appears to be wearing the dress blues of the U.S. Marines. Because of this, the Marines named him an honorary Marine Master Sergeant.
I remember those episodes. I loved that. Oh,
they were so good. So there you go. So happy birthday to Bugs Bunny. A few facts about him that
I loved watching that. That was when I see a clip, I immediately want a bowl of cereal. It's like,
really?
It's Pavlovian for me. Yeah.
Why?
Because every Saturday and Sunday morning we would sit.
Oh.
Well, no, Sundays were church actually, but Saturday mornings we would sit and we'd wake up and parents would be hungover.
Get some cereal
and we'd fend for ourselves and watch cartoons.
There have been many men after Mel Blanc who have voiced Bugs, but in my opinion, the best one to do it, and unfortunately he's passed away also, was the great Joe Alasky. And he studied Mel Brooks himself.
Mel Blanc.
And to the point where you can almost not tell the difference between Mel Blanc and Joe Alasky.
I would never tell the difference.
It is so... There's some where you could definitely tell. Because even Mel Blanc's son tried to take over the so-called family business.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't...
Not the same?
Not the same. You could... But with Joe Alasky... Boy, did he nail it, and it was really good. And unfortunately, he's passed away too, though. Anyway, happy birthday, Bugs. 82 years old, man.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, everybody eat a carrot.
Yeah. I eat carrots all the time. They're fun.
Yeah.
They're delicious.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I want to do one. I want to do something.
What you got?
I want to do a thing about hot chocolate. Is there like a National Hot Chocolate Day?
Hot chocolate.
I think so.
Is it like...
We should be playing the song from Polar Express.
I'll pull that up. Okay. We'll take a look.
Oh my God, that was so much fun. And I love all the graphics during that, and they're all dancing and making the tables, and it's just so much fun. There's so many things about that movie.
You love that movie. I do. Can't watch
it.
I cry.
I love that movie.
I saw a Taco Bell commercial. Oh.
Your attention, please. Are there any Polar Express passengers in need of refreshment?
This is a happy scene.
I thought so.
They come. Hot chocolate!
So we got it! No, we got it! Here we've only got one room.
Alright, so what we got?
That's cool.
Keep it cooking.
I was having a sip of my hot tea because it made me. I love this part. You're distracting me. Okay, hot chocolate! Hot chocolate dates back thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Historians credit the Olmec civilization of southern Mexico as being the first to roast the fruit from the cacao tree. And archaeologists have discovered the Olmec pottery with trace amounts of chocolate dating back to 1700 BC. Ooh. It wasn't always hot and it wasn't always sweet. The Mayans
really?
And Aztecs. No. The Mayans and Aztecs who picked up the habit from the Olmecs drank a bitter brew they called, I'm going to try not to butcher this, Xecotol. I don't know Mayan, but that's my take on that. So typically made with chilies, water, and toasted corn, and served lukewarm, but they made it frothy. I wonder how they made it frothy back then. Did they
frothy.
Have like a...
They had somebody had a quick hand.
They had like a, they had like a steamer. Okay. I'm totally ADDing out on that. The Spanish who were introduced to cacao drinks after the conquistadors brought them home sweetened things up by adding cinnamon, sugar, and other spices to the mix. Delicious. It was believed to have medicinal properties. The pure cacao.
Oh, it does.
I agree with you. Chocolate's magic.
Yeah.
The pure cacao drink that the early Mesoamericans crafted was high in calories and antioxidants and delivered a jolt of caffeine. Nom, 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 nom. So naturally, they believed it had restorative properties. The drink also gained a reputation as an aphrodisiac, baby. I believe in hot chocolate. Revolutionary War soldiers had it in their rations.
Really?
Why not give them coffee? But I mean, that's fine. You know, they were so young. They're like, oh, all these boys are 17. Give them some hot chocolate. They don't know coffee yet. Thank you for that, hot chocolate. So during the Revolutionary War, medics would often dole out cups of hot chocolate to wounded and dying soldiers. That's kind of nice.
Oh,
hot chocolate
yeah.
mixes were also given out monthly to soldiers and sometimes offered in lieu of wages.
What's this on my stomach? Is that my intent? Oh, look, hot chocolate.
Just drink it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're dying. We're going to amputate you now, but just have this hot chocolate. Thomas Jefferson was a big fan of hot chocolate diplomat and third U.S. president, purchased his first batch of chocolate in 1775 and was immediately hooked on it. It was the caffeine, wasn't it? It was caffeine. In 1785, Jefferson wrote to John Adams about the future he saw for hot chocolate in America. It's a game stomp. Hot chocolate stomp. The superiority of God! Damn it.
I'm playing hot chocolate.
I know you are. The superiority of the chocolate, both for health and nourishment, will soon give it a preference over tea or a coffee. He wasn't quite there, but he was close. There's a difference between hot chocolate and hot cocoa. In America,
really?
Hot chocolate refers to any hot drink made with chocolate ingredients. So what most people are actually drinking, in fact, is hot cocoa. What's the difference? Cocoa powder, is ground up cacao that's had the fat stripped away either through natural processes or Dutch process that subjects, this is a little complicated here. Ahem.
Would welcome you like to my world?
The fact
would
is
you like to have
away.
A man read it for you?
Or? Oh, you want to get slapped. I see you. I see what you're doing. I see you over there. So this process of stripping away the fat that subjects the powder to a potassium carbonate. A Dutch chemist, cannot pronounce his name, Conrad J. Van Houten or something like that, invented cocoa powder in 1827 and helped to make hot chocolate widely available to everyone. Hot chocolate, also called drinking chocolate, meanwhile, is made with shaved ground cacao. It still has the full fat, slightly acidic profile. Mm. And that goes in the trash as hot chocolate.
You made me want some hot chocolate.
Abuelita. Abuelita's hot chocolate. I believe in miracles. Woo!
Where are you from? Oh. You sexy things. Hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah, baby. I believe in miracles. So the weather's been chillier here than normal.
Oh, my gosh. It's chilly. The rain. Yeah. We had rain. Have you seen the mountains, though?
Oh, they look gorgeous. Driving over here, I was like, oh, I almost crashed. I almost, like, went through a light and crashed because I was looking at the mountains. So, yeah, it's funny, my kids, you know, growing up in Ohio, when it starts to get really cold and snowy, you see that snow, you're like, hot chocolate! My kids.
Hi, what do you say?
Hot chocolate! Ooh. Oh, my God, hot chocolate! But, you know, growing up here in California, it starts to rain and get a little bit, get down to, like, 50 or 60 degrees, and my kids are like, hot chocolate!
Now,
that's funny.
Now, how do you prefer to make it, though?
You know, we've tried a bunch of different mixes, and then through quarantine, we've bought several different kinds off Amazon, mm-hmm. and our favorite happens to be the Starbucks instant hot chocolate. It is damn good.
Really?
Now, it is good. A lot of times I go to Disney and with friends and everything, and they're all like, let's go get some coffee. Let's go to Starbucks. So we go, and I always get hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
It is good.
I love it.
Do you know who else has a good one?
Who?
In-N-Out. In-N-Out has good hot chocolate.
Wait, they have hot chocolate?
Hell yeah. If it's a rainy day, kids get free hot chocolate through the drive-thru.
No kidding.
It's really, really good. It's better than their damn milkshakes, which is crazy to even say. But what I like to do is I'll boil whole milk.
Mm-hmm.
And like really low.
I was going to say, do you use water or milk?
I like milk.
So do I. So, it's creamier. Yeah,
it is. It's full fat.
Yes.
All the full fat. And then we're bringing it up, bringing up the heat a little bit. We always melt marshmallows in it. And then when we're done, we add more marshmallows. So just like full on diabetes, give it to me, baby. So
it is.
Anyways,
yeah. I mean, do you make it with water or milk for you, Steve?
Milk.
Milk. Yeah. Yeah. Same for me.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always liked it.
Half and half, actually.
Really?
Mm.
Oh.
Damn.
Creamier.
Do you get the shits after that? I'm just curious.
No.
Do you know what my kids did the other day? We were out of milk because they decided to make hot chocolate like every single night. And I don't buy a whole lot of milk just for a cereal and what I'm cooking stuff. But they made it with oat milk and it was not bad. It wasn't the same, but it was not bad.
Well, you're still tasting the chocolate thing, I think, is what it is. And that's what you're...
Yeah, oat milk is... it was kind of like... It had a little oatmeal-y kind of taste it, but I liked it better than the almond milk.
I was going to say, probably almond milk tastes a lot better.
No.
No?
Not to me, I don't think.
Oh, wow.
I tried almond milk
it's
once.
It's good, but not with hot chocolate.
I tried it. Once.
And then you never tried it again.
I did not like that.
Now, did
fake
you have it
milk.
Sweetened or unsweetened? Or
I have no idea. I just bought almond milk at the store just to try it, and I threw it away.
There is a difference between sweetened and unsweetened, too.
It's had nothing to do with sweet or not. It just tasted like
crap.
Garbage.
It did not set with me at all. There's nothing about it. Because I heard people talk about it. Oh, it tastes good. Well, okay, I'll give it a try.
I think. See, I don't mind it. I'll have it once in a while because Karen will get it. Because there's a certain drink that she makes, whatever, with it.
Mm-hmm.
Cocktail?
And,
hey, and, mixed with booze, maybe it's okay.
I don't know. White Russian?
But,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I've had it, and it is a little different, but I think she gets the one that is sweetened with vanilla. And that is not bad. It has a decent taste to it. So
when my kids were small and they wanted chocolate milk, and I'm like, no, I'm not getting you that shit. I would do the chocolate almond milk, and I would do half regular milk and half of that when they were little and they'd wanted that. And it kind of cuts it all in half.
Yeah, sure. It does.
But hot chocolate, we've had lots of hot chocolate and lots of popcorn.
So good, though.
The last couple of days.
Well, we got one more thing for you guys.
One
more thing. Okay. And this we could find. It's signs that we found on front lawns. And I think you guys will really enjoy that. So let's kick it off.
Can I go first?
Sure.
This one's literally, this is my thing.
Only if I get to go second.
Okay, only if Sean goes third.
Okay.
We have a deal?
I'll play caboose. I don't mind.
Here we go. Oh, dear. It went there. All right, mine's first. Okay.
Choo-choo, baby.
Please toilet paper my house. We're out. We need it. Sorry. We're out.
That would be...
We're out of it. We're out of TP.
We're out of it.
We're out. We need it. We need TP.
I just love the fact that it's written on the paper.
I improvised it.
And she totally improvised it. I love it. I just like, you know.
Do you know what I have? I have to say this. I had kids. I was telling my friend Brandy the other day. I literally, one of the best reasons to have a kid is when you're stranded on the toilet. And I have two I can yell at. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I need to train my dogs.
Otherwise, you got to do a little squat walk.
I make sure I don't. It's not too far.
Come on, you've done the squat
if you
walk.
Slip, you end up chalking the line.
You do.
It just depends on how urgent and how
Hey, wait. When I was young, like 12, 13 or so, there we had a group of friends. They're up in L.A. in Highland Park, and we would toilet paper everybody's house. We did it all day. We'd egg everybody. Oh, it was wild. Anyway, one of our friends in our group, his family went on vacation. So we went over to the house like the day before they were expected back and pretty much wrapped it into we threw rolls of toilet paper down the chimney. We got up on the roof.
Are you serious?
And it was funny because next time we talked to my friend, and he was laughing. He goes, my mom couldn't believe it. All of a sudden, she yells, they got it in the house. And it hit in the fireplace. It rolled out across the living room. And toilet paper.
Oh, one more funny toilet paper story. Ready?
Yeah.
When JP was small.
Wait. So this is something like way back when?
He was small, yes.
Okay, let's think about this. Hold on.
There you go. He was potty training. He'd pull the roll, wipe his ass with it, and then just take that wad and just stick it in the toilet. And then he would flush, and the entire roll would go down the toilet. I'd come in like, what the hell?
Having a cat.
And once it stopped flushing and it stopped sucking it down, it would just wick all the way up, and the roll would just be soaked.
They puff up.
Yes.
There's nothing funnier than a wet roll.
Potty training kids. Okay, Steve, what's your sign?
What?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
We're doing signs on someone's lawn. Okay, here it is. Grow, damn it. Can grass read?
That took me a minute there.
I like this one though. It says, my mailbox is under quarantine and is not accepting bills at this time.
That's a good idea. Like that. Yeah. My girl, she can't differentiate. She won't do that. I feel bad. Okay. This is a political statement here.
Uh-oh.
Yes. This sign said, vote Muppet. You will get one anyway.
Okay. Please be safe. Do not stand, sit, climb, or lean on fences. If you fall, animals could eat you, and that might make them sick.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God.
That's a very long sign. How big was that sign?
You never know. The more I look around, the more I want to vote for my can.
Wait, what?
I want to vote for my can, like my toilet? My toilet?
Or your ass?
Help us explain.
I want to vote for my ass.
Oh, okay, okay. So it's the toilet. Okay, this sign said, no soliciting. We're too broke to buy what you're selling anyway.
That's so true.
It is. We already got it on Amazon. That's my sign.
There you go.
This one's strange. Horses actually lay down. Please don't call 911.
Oh, I love that.
That's true, they do. And some people go, oh, my God, it's sick, it's died, or whatever.
It's like a giant dog.
Neighbor number one says, do something about the dandelions in your lawn, please. Neighbor two put up a sign saying, free dandelions, take as many as you like.
There you go.
I like that one. This sign said, sign on exercise machine, I'm fat and lazy. You still have a chance. This is free.
Is it a yard sale or a really inexpensive department store? Come and see for yourself.
Oh.
I like that one. If you insist on jogging by my house, please put on a decent clothing. My children do not need to see your obscene anatomy.
Oh, sorry. I still laughed at that one. Take my ex's stuff yard sale. It's all got to go, just like him. She, him, he, they.
I think she's enjoying this one.
Okay. This is a Trump sign with the T and the P taken out. Rum. Make America great again.
Make America grrr. Sorry, that was a pirate. Rum.
Oh, I should have said it as a pirate. Rum. Make America great again.
This one just amazes me because I didn't know cats could do this, though. But please do not drop your cigarette butts on the ground. The cat crawls out at night and smokes them, and we're trying to make him quit.
What?
Oh, there you go. So those are some funny signs there for you guys. I did it, baby.
Dogs and cats, animals do eat the cigarette butts, though.
They do. They really do.
They also eat the butts of joints.
So that's it.
That's the show for today.
Oh.
That was a fun show.
That was okay.
Yeah.
Google.
You
Google.
Google.
All righty, guys. The show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You follow me, Steve. Facebook, Steve Silva. Twitter, at SilvaLining69.
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. And if you want to find me on the Instagrams or the Facebooks, Amber Ash McCary.
Absolutely. And, of course, if you want to follow our producer, Zach, who's not here, on Instagram, he's at Zombie Mel Gibson.
And it's a picture of Zombie Mel Gibson.
It really is. Yeah. And if you want to follow me, Sean, on any of the social media, it's simply Sean R. Unplugged.
I just want to say one more thing to Zach. Told you so! I hope you're feeling better, too.
One more thing we definitely have to say is don't forget, guys, Delmarva Radio and also Lime City Radio. Check us out on Delmarva. We are on Wednesday through Friday at 7 a.m. And, of course, on Lime City Radio, you can catch all of our past episodes at noon. And, of course, we're live today for you guys. So
thank you.
Absolutely.
I didn't know.
And we thank you for listening.
I thought I was still asleep.
Well, you're always asleep, though. So, until next week, guys, we'll catch you then. Have a good one. Be good to each other.
Zach, stay healthy, world.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.